Accession number 19603, Reel 1.
July 21st, 1999, Colonel John McGregor interviewing ex-RSM Joe Stacey. Joe, will you please tell me date of birth and place of birth?
My place of birth was March 25th, 1923, in Govan, Glasgow. But wasn't there very long, but shortly my family, my father acquired a job in the Midlands, and we moved down to the Midlands outside of Birmingham, where I more or less grew up there and became apprentice toolmaker when I left school. And it was because of that that when I joined the Territorial Army, and when war broke out, was called up, but was then, after some 6 months, I was in an RA battery on the south coast at Hastings, was suddenly called forward with other members, about a dozen other fellows, and told we were being returned to civilian life because we were considered to be in reserved occupations. And then I didn't get back into the... I always wanted to be a soldier, but didn't get back again until the end of the war, 1945, I think it was, when I was able to join up in the Black Watch on a regular 7-5 engagement as a regular soldier.
Why did you decide on the Black Watch?
I have to be honest and say that it was a second choice, really. My family were Irish, and my first choice was the Irish Guards, but I was rejected of being half an inch too small. And I'd had a cousin who served in the 5th Black Watch, who was badly wounded and didn't in the fighting round about Colin Bells or Khan. And I think it was knowing him that just made me decide that I would go for the Black Watch.
Right, and where was your first contact with the Black Watch? Where did you join them?
I joined up August 1945 and did my training in the depot in Perth. 6 weeks primary training first of all, and then followed by 10 weeks core training, infantry training. Mm. And at the end of it, surprisingly, I was given a Lance Corporal stripe and sent on a junior NCO's course to Warminster. Very still green about the ears, as it were, but I somehow managed to get a good result, came back to the depot, and was kept in the depot as a training corporal, and was promoted full corporal. Brigadier, as he was then, Colonel Bradford was commanding the depot at that time.
And once you had been in the regiment for some time, what did you feel about the regiment?
I was quite happy in the regiment, and made many friends, and like everyone else, it was my regiment.
And then what followed after that?
Well, as I said, I sustained this bad back injury playing football and was temporarily posted to the War Office as a clerk, although I wasn't a clerk. But it was quite an interesting job in the War Office. I worked in the Director of Military Operations branch, and my job was responsible for collating and filing War Office telegrams from various agencies around the world. And this was quite interesting, but it was a very sinecure of a job, as it were, in that one wore civilians to the office every day, and one lived in digs in London. I was still young, and I wanted back to the regiment, and as I said, I got myself fully fit again, and applied to go to the 1st Battalion in Germany, which of course I didn't get. Was posted to Fort George for drafting, and found out it was a War Office posting, and was posted to 1 Seaforth in Malaya. But once I got there and settled down, funnily enough, only after about a month in the Safe Force, I was promoted sergeant. Thrown very much in at the deep end. The troubles were at their worst at that particular time. But I settled down, and jungle warfare to me I found most interesting. I took to it, as it were. But then after my 3 years in Malaya, the Gordon Highlanders came over and came out and took over from the Sea Force, and I volunteered to stay with them. It was a bit difficult with the Gordons because I thoroughly enjoyed myself with the Gordons, and they wanted me to rebadge. Was even offered accelerated promotion, but I was sorely tempted. But it was just then, just about my 3 year tour was up, that the 2nd Battalion was reformed, and so I said that no, I would like to go back and I would like to rejoin my regiment again. And at that particular time, or rather before that with the Sea Force, Major Alec Brodie was a company commander with the Sea Force, and I was his platoon sergeant. An interesting side effect of that was that he carried quite a lot of weight, and of course Leachies made an awful job of him when he was out on patrol, and I had the job of going down to the bottom, as it were, and picking the leeches off him. But I returned to the UK, and then I was able to rejoin the 2nd Battalion. They had just moved to Germany from Colchester, and I rejoined them there. And for the two years, I think it was, that the 2nd Battalion existed, we had an extremely happy time. Colonel Bradford came as commanding officer, and we had a first class RSM and a fellow chap called Hooky Walker. And although it was a very young battalion, at first it was hard going because of many of the senior NCOs had been in ERE jobs for some considerable time, and it took a long time to get them back into the swing of things again. An amusing incident at that particular time was that I was guard commander shortly after I arrived there, and happened to be standing outside the guard room when I saw this figure coming down the road, and I recognised him as Colonel Bradford, and I immediately turned the guard out, and he came up and gave him a present arms. He was quite amused, but at the same time gave me a slight dig and said, "Well, I haven't taken over yet, Sergeant," he said. "I'm not so sure that that should have been done." However, he said it with a twinkle in his eye. What he was after was to find the way to Colonel Blair's house.
Yes.
So that was... And then, we went, as I said, in Germany, the battalion settled down, and under the commanding officer and the RSM, we became one of the best battalions in Germany. Everything that we entered, whether it was sport or military competitions, we seemed to win, and we did very well indeed. Also at that particular time, I was selected to be a member of the colour party for the Queen's coronation, which was most interesting, under the command of the RSM. And we left Germany, we're based in Queen's Barracks, because we had to do a fair amount of training for it, and was there joined by the colour party of the 1st Battalion, who had come from Korea. And that was most interesting. And once we were all organised, we went to London and took part in the Queen's Coronation Parade. It was quite a hard thing because we had to march for some 10 miles through the streets of London, and the weather was quite bad at the time. But nevertheless, on the whole, it was a most interesting experience, especially being joined by colour parties from every regiment in the British Army. Mm. a most interesting experience. After that, and then going back to Germany, the 1st, 2nd Battalion were then earmarked to go to British Guiana. There had been a wee bit of trouble in British Guiana with communists, and the Argylls had been sent out there very quickly to curb the trouble. And we went out as a battalion. We went back to Creil, formed up at Creil, and was inspected by the Queen Mother at Creil. And we went out to British Guiana. One of the good things about it was that there were no married quarters in Guiana. And the commanding officer, being a very much a family man, had organised with the Argylls for their quartermaster to book individual a private accommodation for those in the regiment that wanted it, and quite a number of families did that, which meant that we were going out together not knowing what we were going to live in. But it worked out quite well, and the trip out was on a troop ship, and that was most enjoyable because the battalion had the whole of the troop ship to itself, and it also very much fostered the spirit, tremendous spirit in the 2nd Battalion at that time, yes, amongst everybody. And I would say 90% of it was due to the commanding officer.
Yes.
He was
talking in date terms.
Pardon?
What year in date terms?
This would be 53, 54. Yes. Aye. 53, 54, I think it was, that we went out there. We arrived in Guiana, not knowing what to expect. Took over from the Argylls. The troubles had quietened down. The Argylls had fairly sorted the troubles out there, and we had a very interested year out there. And in fact, it was almost like a holiday, as it were, apart from training, that was. And the quarters that we found were extremely good. It was a very interesting 18 months because we did quite a lot of training out there. And one of the things I thought my days of jungle warfare was over, but somehow they found out that I had jungle warfare experience and was the only one in the battalion that had this, and was pulled out by the commanding officer to run a jungle training cadre. Which was quite interesting. We organised it, although the jungle in South America is vastly different to Malaya in the fact that it's more fearsome in a sense that everything bites from the smallest thing, whereas in Malaya it's a much cleaner jungle. However, Carter went exceedingly well, and I think the commanding officer was quite pleased with the results of that. Leaving, we were then told the sad news reached us while we were in Guiana that the 2nd Battalion was going to have to disband again. Not that we were short of recruits, we could recruit quite well, but English regiments were struggling to get recruits, and so it was decided by the powers that be that that we would also have to disband, and it was a sad day. But the commanding officer again, he made sure that there was postings for all the senior ranks, good posting. Majority went to the 1st Battalion, which I think caused a bit of an upset, because I think the senior ranks in the 2nd Battalion were senior to the opposite numbers in the 1st Battalion. However, luckily for me, I wasn't involved in it because I, as a senior colour sergeant, I was posted to the depot, which was still a primary training centre. And I spent some 18 months in the depot as a colour sergeant in the depot under Nobby Clark, quartermaster. So that was a pleasant interlude. Nothing much happened there. But at the end of it, I was suddenly told that I was due for promotion to warrant officer and was sent away on a drill course to prepare for me to return to the 1st Battalion, which I did. I think there were They were then stationed in Redford Barracks. They were due to go to Cyprus. So I joined the 1st Battalion for the first time in my army career in Redford Barracks, and settled down, and was appointed, I was still a colour sergeant at the time, but was put in charge of the advance party that went to Cyprus, and again, funnily enough, we took over again from the Argyll. Troubles were on in Cyprus with the Yucca conflict out there, but the Argyll seemed to have fairly sorted the thing out until, well, there was still a good bit of trouble when we went out there. But after about 6 months, it quietened down. And although it had been said in the beginning that it would be a non-family station, the commanding officer, who I think was Colonel Angus Irwin, I think I'm right in saying it by this time, said that he thought it was safe that families could come out. And we had the same situation as in Guyana, that there were no quarters available where we were. And it was decided that the second in command, Major Wingate Gray, and I was by this time the weapon training sergeant major, so I was a spare warrant officer, as it were. He and I were given money from the PRI, and we made contact with a Greek landlord in Nicosia, and went round, and what our job was to go around and find accommodation as and when families became available to come out to Cyprus. And eventually it proved, the money was paid back, of course, when the families came out. But we paid the initial payment, down payment as it were, to secure the houses for the families. And once again, as I said, the troubles had quietened down. And it was a thoroughly enjoyable time for the battalion in Germany, which was utilised for training exercises. And was extremely useful. I left the battalion in Cyprus because I was told I had to do a tour of duty with the territorial battalions, and so I was posted to the 4th, 5th in Dundee as a PSI.
And what year was that?
This would be 59, 60. 59, 60, 61. So I went to Dundee and was based in Bell Street with A Company in Bell Street in Dundee. And again, I had a thoroughly enjoyable time working with the territorial army. I think the colonel of the battalion at that time was Stormont Darling.
At that time, yes, it would be.
Yes, Stormont Darling. But nothing untoward of incidents happened whilst in Dundee, although, as I said, we did a couple of training camps in down in the south of England, in Norfolk, which went very well. And one particular camp was extremely good because both the whole brigade was based down there, and there was a lot of interchange between the C4s, Camerons, Gordons and the Black Watch, which was most interesting. On completion of my tour with the TA, I was posted back to the 1st Battalion, who were by this time earmarked to be the demonstration battalion in Warminster.
Oh, yes.
And they had moved to a place called Barton Stacey, not far from Warminster. So this is where I rejoined the 1st Battalion. And we eventually moved from Barton Stacey into Warminster. And I took over as company sergeant major of B Company. My company commander was Brigadier Hamilton. Brigadier Hamilton, and the commanding officer was Colonel Noble. We were the demonstration battalion. We had two demonstration companies. I had one, and D Company under Major Watson, Colonel Watson, was the other one. So that again was a most interesting period, being the demonstration companies for the School of Infantry. The only outstanding incident there was that we had a winter of terrible snow, which the likes of the people in southern England had never seen before during the winter. The roads were completely blocked, and the way it affected us, the training continued, and it was unbelievable that we were going out on exercises, having to sit in slip trenches at night, and men were getting frostbitten.
That would be 1963.
No, this would be 63.
Yes, 1963.
63. And it was a most interesting period. During that period, we also did what we call a cape tour, a battalion cape tour, which was rather a big thing during the summer recess of the School of Infantry. And we went back to Scotland, and I had one of the cape companies, and we went around all the towns and villages in Scotland, laying on various sideshows and attracting the crowds. And that was, that again was very good. But one of the interesting things up there was at that time, I think the Queen Mother was celebrating her 25th anniversary of the regiment, and we provided a complete guard of honour on the North Edge. And,
25th year as Colonel in Chief.
Yes, Colonel in Chief. And again, I was selected as a colour company sergeant major, carrying the colours, which I was very, very, very proud of. And I believe that they do have a video film.
Yes, on that. Yes.
We returned to Warminster, and I really was on my last 2 years of service then, to complete 21 years service, and the battalion was due to go, was earmarked for Germany, but in the interim were due to do a tour in Cyprus with the United Nations. However, I was sent for by the commanding officer and said there was an interesting job coming up in Malaya and Borneo, that the Singapore, Malaya and Borneo were going to federate onto one, and a cadre of officers and NCOs were being sent out there to recruit in Borneo two battalions of men and to train them for this new Malaysian army. And I talked it over with my wife, which she had been in the Far East with me, and we thought we would like to go back again. Well, while it was arranged to leave the battalion, it was my last, it must have been my last 4 years of service, I would think, because I spent 4 years in Malaya and Borneo. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go, and we did go, and I had a most interesting 4 years in Borneo. That's cadre officers and NCOs drawn from various regiments in the British Army. I had with me two Black Watch NCOs. One was a colour sergeant, Alec McLean, mm-hmm. and the other one was a Sergeant Shields. Mm-hmm. And they came with me, and I went out as a regimental quartermaster sergeant. We got together in Singapore, and there were two commanding officers designated, one for the 1st Battalion, one for the 2nd. We hadn't, by this time, of course, didn't have any men. We had to go to Borneo and recruit them, which we did. We did. But I became the RKMS of the 1st Battalion under a Gurkha officer, Colonel Gopsall, who was a tremendous man, marvellous man, very much similar to my old Colonel Bradford. I stayed in Malaya at that time and took over a camp, preparing it for the arrival of recruits, and the rest of the cadre, the officers and NCOs, went to Borneo and recruited men, the indigenous tribes from Borneo, various tribes, brought them back to Singapore. And we then moved from there to a camp in North Malaya, which was a Gurkha training camp, and which is where we trained where we trained all these men, they had, some of them had never even put boots on before. But we worked at them. They were tremendously keen, very pro-British, which was unusual in that area, very pro-British. And we, it was a very interesting period, a very hard time. We were working all hours of the day and night, but we produced a very, two very efficient battalions. And by the end of 18 months, we were ready for operations. And we first of all took part in operations in North Malaya, and then went back to Borneo and took one during the confrontation which was then on with the Indonesian government. And I spent 4 years with the Malaysia Rangers. But at the end of the 4 years, my time was up and also my service was due to finish. So, but I was then, I was thinking of leaving the army, but was still keen. And from records office, they asked me if I would consider going on the long service list, which I thought was probably a good idea. Although, it eventually, it wasn't such a good idea because the job I got was of a senior NCO in charge of recruiting office in Aberdeen. Funny thing that I was now back with the Gordons again, as a blackwood soldier. However, it was a good thing for my family. My two boys and two girls, and it enabled them to have a regular education for a while, which they missed out a lot on education, travelling about the world. So they had a settled education, and I stayed for 5 years. But it wasn't my kind of life. It was an office job, and recruits were hard to find in Aberdeen because the oil boom had then started, and there were no loons and farm servants in Aberdeenshire to recruit.
Oh, no.
They were hard to find. So it was a difficult job and rather soul destroying. But an interesting interlude was, for me, was the fact that I was given the opportunity to go back to Malaya. The first battalion had gone out, they had to do jungle warfare training. And with the help of Colonel Watson, it was arranged for me to take a draft out to the first battalion. It was both unorthodox, as it were. But I was simply going out there as a visitor. And I went out there and I spent some 6 weeks with the battalion and thoroughly enjoyed myself back in Malaya again. And was able to tread some familiar routes. And also to help a little bit with the training of the battalion. Remembering one particular incident, I was out on a jungle patrol, and the company commander was entirely lost, and I have to say that I was able to lead them out of the jungle and back to the safety of the camp. But after 5 years in Aberdeen, I felt that I no longer had the interest of soldiering at heart. And the opportunity came up for a job in civilian life with one of the big colleges in Glasgow, and I applied for it and was successful in getting the job.
That's the most interesting. Now tell me, in all your many postings for the other regiments, did you always retain your Black Watch uniform?
No.
You had the badge according to the unit you were serving?
No, you had to. You know, when I went to the Sea Force, the first thing I had to do was go to the PRI. And become rebadged, and again with the Gordons, when I transferred to the Gordon, I had to rebadge again. And I must admit, it cost me quite a bit of money because being at the Sergeant Smith, I had to buy all the bits and pieces which was needed for mess dress and that. But nevertheless, it was an interesting experience, and I must say that, especially with the Gordon, my time with the Gordons, I thoroughly enjoyed my time. It was a hard life. We were out on patrols constantly, but I suppose, in a sense, I was looked up to you a little bit because I had already had 18 months for the CPS and had the extra experience when the governors came in. I was a bit upset at first when the governors came out because they arrived in Singapore and were doing pre-jungle training in Singapore, and the first thing I did have to do was attend a burial party. Unfortunately, one of the Gordon's sons was out on patrol, and his signaller who was right behind him stumbled over the root of a tree and banged his stain on the ground, and the stain went off and shot him through the back of the head, which was a most unfortunate thing. And I said to myself, I wonder, you know, what kind of a regiment am I joining? But things settled down, and I found the Gordons to be a very good regiment. We had one or two bad incidents. The biggest one was in my particular company, where a platoon in my company was out, and a section was out on a rubber estate with a young National Service officer. And every morning, for some reason, he went out at the same time along the same route to patrol, to do an early morning patrol. And of course, this was asking for trouble. And just one morning, the terrorists had set up an ambush, and the whole section was shot dead without a shot being fired. That was one of the worst incidents, I think.
Yes, that was a tragic thing to happen. Always so much worse when it's under these circumstances than it had been a set-piece battle.
But the unfortunate thing that the young officer didn't have a platoon, an experienced platoon sergeant with him. Mm-hmm. I think that was basically the cause of it. Mm-hmm. But it was a sad day. Mm-hmm. And very unfortunate for one Lance Corporal in the section, and the fact that he just transferred from the Argyles in Korea to get back to his own regiment, the Gordon.
And then he was killed.
Yes.
So there you are, sir.
That's a pretty good summary, and that, as I remember it, it's followed track all the way through. So.
Then sanctions, but Britain has decided that the free.